I said to Mark during the week that I'd do the reading, and he didn't confirm to me till this morning what it was. But I don't mind. So Abraham's wife has just died in chapter 23, and Abraham's now concerned about the future of his family. Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from?" "Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant left, taking with him 10 of his master's camels, loaded with all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, "Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, 'Please let your jar down your jar that I may have a drink,' she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master.'" Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The woman was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever slept with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough to drink." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a becker and 2 gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nahor." And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night." Then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." The young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother named Laban, and he hurried out to the man at the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms, and had heard Rebekah tell what the man said to her, he went out to the man and found him standing by the camels near the spring. "Come, you who are blessed by the Lord," he said. "Why are you standing out here? I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." So the man went to the house, and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought for the camels, and water for him and his men to wash their feet. Then food was set before him. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say." "Then tell us," Laban said. So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants and camels and donkeys. My master's wife Sarah has borne him a son in her old age and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and said, you must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son. Then I asked my master, what if the woman will not come back with me? He replied, the Lord before whom I have walked faithfully will send his angel with you and make your journey a success so that you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and from my father's family. You will be released from my oath if, when you go to my clan, they refuse to give her to you. Then you will be released from my oath. When I came to the spring today, I said, Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I'm standing beside this spring. If a young woman comes out to draw water and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And if she says to me, drink and I'll draw water for your camels too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water and I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll water your camels too. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him. Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelets on her arms, and I bowed down and worshipped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. When Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebekah and also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, send me on my way to my master. But her brother and her mother replied, let the young woman remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go. But he said to them, do not detain me. Now that the Lord has granted success to my journey, send me on my way so I may go back to my master. Then they said, let's call the young woman and ask her about it. So they called Rebekah and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies. Then Rebekah and her attendants got ready and mounted the camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai Roy, for he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? He is my master, the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah, so she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Before I hand over to Mark and before the children go out.
Genesis and chapter 24. Genesis and chapter 24. You may have worked out that there's going to be one more sermon on the life of Abraham. At the age of 23, I felt a burden to go to Bible college. So I went and spoke to a local pastor and asked him his advice. And he said to me that normally when people go away to Bible college, they have had some experience in teaching the Bible, and the leaders of their church recognize them as potential candidates. I had never delivered a message from God's Word. The only thing I had done was taken a couple of Sunday school classes, and I'd more or less read the material that had been given to me. And as far as I was concerned, the church leaders weren't even looking in my direction when it came to considering people suitable for studying at Bible college. And so I prayed to the Lord, "Lord, if you want me to go, please give me the opportunity to teach your word in the church, and may the leaders of the church recognize me as a potential candidate." Well, I think it was within a week that I was given the opportunity to speak at the midweek prayer and Bible study. And I can't remember exactly, but it was in a week or two that the pastor of the church came up to me and said, "There are two men in the church that I think might be suitable candidates for Bible college. Have you ever thought of going?" And what followed was really quite remarkable. I got a place in the college that I wanted to go to at the age of 23, even though they didn't normally accept people under the age of 25. And the church that I was a member of, along with my family, were willing to cover the costs for the 3 years that I wanted to study there. And I must say that I was held by God in what I can only say was an extraordinary way. Now, I must say that those 3 years were not easy. I found some of what I was asked to do extremely stressful. I found myself put in situations that, humanly speaking, I didn't think that I could cope with. But I want to put a question to you this morning in the light of all that I have said. Why do you think that things worked out for me in the way that they did? I believe they worked out in the way they did because it was God's will for me to go. I knew God's help because I acted in line with the will of God. Now, this morning's sermon can be summed up in one sentence, though I want to spend a half an hour fleshing out that one sentence. And here it is. It is important that we know God's will so that we can be confident of God's help in the doing of His will. Let me read that again, just in case you go to sleep for the rest of the sermon. It is important that we know God's will so that we can be confident of God's help in the doing of His will. And I think that this is something that is emphasized in this long chapter that we're looking at this morning. We're going to look at the chapter under three headings. And the first heading is this: Abraham knew God's will. Abraham knew God's will. There were three things that Abraham was convinced of regarding his son Isaac. And the first thing was this: Isaac must have a wife. Isaac must have a wife in order that Isaac might have a son. Now, there was no specific word from God telling Abraham to go and organize a son for Isaac. No whisper from heaven, no writing on the wall, so to speak. So how did Abraham know that this was God's will? Well, he drew this conclusion from the promise that God had given to him, that through Isaac, he would be made into a great nation. Of course, it's not God's will for everyone to get married. Some people are called by God to be single. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that there are a number of very good reasons why it is a good thing to be single. He himself was single. And that enabled him to do the unique work that God wanted him to do. But it was God's will for Isaac to get married and to have a son. The second thing that Abraham was convinced of was that Isaac's wife must not be a Canaanite. Look at what we read in verse 3. This is Abraham speaking to his trusted servant. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living. Again, there's no indication of some kind of special revelation from God regarding this matter. So how did Abraham know that it was God's will that Isaac's wife must not be a Canaanite? Well, I believe that Abraham concluded this from what God had already said to him concerning the Canaanites. This is what we read in Genesis 15 and verse 60. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, that is to the land of Canaan, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When we read the early books of the Bible, we discover that the Canaanites were a wicked and idolatrous people. In fact, they were a people who were destined for God's judgment. It was not appropriate, therefore, Abraham reasoned, for Isaac to take for himself a wife from among the Canaanites. Almost certainly such a wife would lead him astray, would lead him away from God, and perhaps it would even lead him to forsake the promises of God. And that must not happen. Thirdly, Abraham was convinced that Isaac must not leave Canaan to find a wife. Look at verse 6 and then verse 8. Make sure that you do not take my son back there. That is back where it all began for me. Back home, so to speak. Make sure that you do not take my son back there. And verse 8. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. Sometime later, there was a famine in the land, and God expressly forbade Isaac from leaving the land of Canaan. Look at chapter 26 and verse 2. Chapter 26 and verse 2, the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. And so on and so forth. How did Abraham come to the conviction that it was God's will that Isaac shouldn't leave the land of Canaan? Well, again, I would argue from the promise. God had promised to give to Abraham and his descendants the land. And it was important that Isaac display his confidence in God's promise by remaining in the land and not leaving it. So do you see what Abraham basically did? He came to his convictions about God's will by carefully considering God's word. If we are going to know God's will, then of course we need to know God's word. Now, reading some of it will make it clear to us certain things. I mean, sometimes God's word is black and white, isn't it? Do not murder. Love your neighbour as yourself. But in some areas of life, it's more difficult to determine what God's will is. That's why we have to immerse ourselves in it. That's why we have to think carefully about it. Just like Abraham did. So who should we marry? If indeed we should marry. Well, if we are a Christian, the Bible tells us that we should marry in the law. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 39. In other words, we should marry another Christian. But there are other principles laid down in the Bible that should guide us. For example, God loves peace and not strife. God is, after all, a God of peace. We might therefore deduce from this that God would have us marry someone with similar values or standards. That way, endless strife will be avoided. When I knew that God wanted me to go into pastoral ministry, I concluded that it was God's will that I should find a wife that was not only a Christian, but a keen Christian who would support me in the work and was willing to make all kinds of sacrifices. Where should I go to university? If indeed I should go to university. Well, we see in God's word that regular fellowship with Christians in a local church is important. It's necessary for one's growth and spiritual development. We may therefore conclude from that that it's not a good idea to go to a university where there isn't a good local church that one can attend. Where should I seek employment? Where should I work? Well, nowhere that would lead us to compromise our faith. I would suggest, therefore, that brothels and betting shops are out. But all sorts of questions need to be asked when we seek employment somewhere. One might be, has God suitably equipped me for this job? I remember a gentleman that we knew years ago. Seemed to be out to prove himself. And therefore he would keep applying for jobs that gave one status and lots of money. But he wasn't really suitably gifted for such jobs. And I feared that if he got one of these jobs, then his life would become an absolute misery, because he just wouldn't cope with it. And I used to wonder whether it was God's will that he went for these jobs, or whether deep down it was a question of pride leading him to go for them. We could spend all morning, couldn't we, talking about these things. But clearly in this passage, we find that Abraham knew God's will. And therefore, Abraham was confident of God's help as he acted upon it. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you." Abraham is talking to the servant. "So that you can get a wife for my son from there." It's interesting how much confidence Abraham seems to have that as he sends his servant off to find a wife for his son, that he will get one. Yes, because God will send his angel ahead of him and enable it to happen. You know, as I was preparing, I thought of the vision that the Apostle Paul had. It involved a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And Paul concluded from this vision that God wanted him to go there and preach the gospel. And as we read through the book of Acts, we see that he went to Philippi. And there in Philippi, surprise, surprise, God helped him to preach the gospel and people were converted and a church was established. Now I probably should say this morning that in walking in line with God's will, it did not mean that things became easy for the Apostle Paul. And you may recall that when he went to Philippi, that he was beaten and put into prison. Going God's way is not always easy, but when we know that we are going God's way, when we know that we are in God's will, we can expect God's help. Do we want to know God's help in our lives? Then we must seek to be in His will. But thirdly and lastly, Abraham was helped in the doing of God's will. Abraham has expressed his confidence in God's help, but we see thirdly that Abraham was helped in the doing of God's will. And what we read in the rest of this story, I think, is just fascinating. Confident of God's will, Abraham sent his best servant to the land where he had grown up, which was about 1,000 miles away, so that a wife could be found for his son Isaac amongst his relatives. And off went his servant with presents for Isaac's future bride and her family, verse 10. And when the servant finally arrived, he stopped at a well just outside a town, because his camels needed to be watered. Verse 11. And when the evening came, women started to come out to draw water. And he prayed. And we see his prayer in verses 12 to 14. Let's look at what he prayed. Lord, he said, God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Now I think it's important to note in passing that the servant did not pray for a miracle to happen. He simply prayed that God, who is sovereign, might so order events in everyday life that he might know the girl for Isaac. And what happens next is amazing. Before he had finished speaking to God, you see, the Lord knows what's on our hearts, doesn't he? Even before we utter a word, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder, a young, beautiful woman who belonged to Abraham's family. The servant said to her, verse 17, please give me a little water from your jar. And she gave him a drink and then went on to offer to water his camels too, which she proceeded to do. Now, if there's anybody here who is tempted to say, oh, well, of course, this was a chance happening, let me say this. The well was almost certainly a deep one that had steps leading down to it. And the drawing of water from this well would have required substantial effort. Typically, one camel would have required about 25 gallons, and an ancient water jar would have held about 3 gallons. So about 80 to 100 visits to the well were required. Therefore, taking into account the time for the camels to drink the water, it would probably have taken Rebecca 1.5 to 2 hours of hard work to complete the task of watering the servant's camels. God had to be in it. God had to be in it. Because let's face it, no woman was likely to come out of the town and make such a generous offer, was she? Let's be realistic about it. As I read this story, I'm reminded of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. This is what we read there. Sorry, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Well, we then find the servant asking Rebecca, whose daughter she is. We've been told the servant doesn't yet know. And she said that she was the daughter of Bethuel. In other words, she was a part of Abraham's family, verse 24. Friends, is it any wonder that the servant praised God? Look at verses 26 and 27. Then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." This man couldn't have imagined things working out better for him, could he? Though we must appreciate the fact that the story is not actually over yet. It's not a done deal yet, is it? Because the family has not yet let Rebecca go. And Rebecca hasn't yet said that she is willing to leave family and home in order to marry a man from a faraway land that she's never even laid eyes on. Well, what we read next is that the servant goes to Rebecca's mother's household, and there the story is told by the servant of how Abraham has sent him, how prayer has been wonderfully answered, and so on and so forth. And we see that when Laban, Rebecca's brother, heard the story, he was convinced that it was from the Lord. And he and Bethuel, the girl's father, were happy for the servant to take her. Look at verse 51. "Here is Rebecca, take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed." But not only were the family willing to let her go, Rebecca too was willing to go. Look at verse 58. Let's pick it up at verse 57. They said, "Let's call the young woman and ask her about it." And so they called Rebecca and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" "I will go," she said. It's remarkable, isn't it? And so the servant was able to return home to his master with Rebecca. And Rebecca and Isaac were married. And we read in verse 67 that he loved her. Now, if there was ever a marriage made in heaven, it was this one. Wouldn't you agree? Abraham then was helped by God in the doing of his will. So what is the lesson here for us this morning? Well, it's a simple one. If we want to be confident of God's help in our lives, we must walk according to his will. This is the way to avoid disappointment, frustration, heartache, and regret. What an incentive, then, for each and every one of us to make sure that we are studying God's Word day by day. What an incentive for all of us to avail ourselves of every opportunity to hear the Word of God explained and applied to our lives. I don't know about you, but I want God's help every single day. But I'm led to believe from these verses that if I want God's help, I've got to make sure that I'm walking according to God's will. But as I said earlier on in the sermon, and I want to emphasize this again, just because we walk according to God's will does not mean that everything in life becomes easy. Paul went to Philippi according to God's will, and he was beaten and put into prison. I went to Bible college many years ago, believing that it was God's will for me to go so, and, well, I experienced many stressful nights trying to put papers together and preaching in places that caused me to go weak at the knees. Just because we don't know God's help doesn't mean that life suddenly becomes easy. But it is God's help, is it not, in our everyday lives that we should be seeking. This is what is really important. But I want to finish this morning by saying this. There is coming a day when we must know God's help. When we must know God's help. And I'm referring to the day when God will judge the living and the dead. We must know God's help in order to stand before God, who is holy, who is righteous, and will judge in righteousness. I was listening to a YouTube clip some time ago, and there was a Jewish man, a religious man, who thought that as long as you did more good than bad, you would be okay. The question was asked, well, what exactly do you think is the pass mark? He said 50%. As long as you do more good than bad, you will be okay. But you see, the Bible tells us so clearly that the pass mark is 100% and nothing short of 100%. In order to stand before God, we must be righteous. We must be perfect, spotless, without sin. We need God's help then, don't we, if we're going to be able to stand before God one day. We can't stand before God by means of our own ability, by means of our own works or our own efforts, that they're just futile. We are sinners by nature and practice. If we're going to know God's help on that particular day, then friends, we must know God's will and we must do God's will. And what is God's will? God's will is this, that we put our trust in no one else and nothing else but his Son, the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, repent and believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is as we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that we can know the joy of sins forgiven and peace with God and a right standing before God. The moment we truly trust in Christ, the moment we truly lay hold of him or receive him as our Savior, our sins are counted as having been laid on Jesus, and the price paid for them, having been paid, and his righteousness, the righteousness of God, his perfect obedience is counted as ours. This will be the only way that we shall stand before a God when he calls the whole world, all who have ever lived, to stand before him and to give account. Friends, may we know God's word. May we know his will. And may we be given grace to walk according to it. Shall we just pray before we sing our final hymn? Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you that Abraham, all those years ago, knew your word and was determined to live in the light of your word. He was concerned to do your will. Lord, as he sought to do your will, as we have seen, he was granted your help. And the servant, as he was sent to the land in which he had been brought up, was able to find a suitable wife for his son Isaac. Lord, may we be a people that immerse ourselves in your word. May we know your will. Grant us grace, Lord, to do your will. And as we do your will, may we know your help throughout our lives. Hear then our prayer, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, shall we, and sing our concluding hymn.